If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 196. The Nats get their first win under Miguel Cairo, but ultimately lose their first post-Davey Martinez series to the Cardinals. We'll give you our first impressions of the team under new management. Plus, overshadowed by all the news this week, James Wood and Mackenzie Gore are headed to the All-Star Game in Atlanta, and the MLB draft takes place on Sunday with Washington on the clock at number one overall. We'll let you listen to Joe Doyle of Overslot with his thoughts on who the Nationals will take with the top pick of the MLB draft. All that and more here on Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 196, which starts right now.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
That's right, you're tuned in to Bustin' Loose Baseball. This is episode 196. We're quickly sneaking up on episode 200. We're going to have to do something special for that, but we'll get to that at a later time. I'm producer Darius Dameron, joined as always by Toby Altizer. Grant Paulson is on assignment at the hospital because he had a baby. Him and his wife gave birth to their fourth child, beautiful baby boy by the name of Lincoln. Congratulations to both Grant and his wife, Allison, as they welcome their fourth child into the world. Toby, how the heck are you, man?
Doing great. Congrats to GP. Super happy for him. So even though we call you dad, Grant's the one that is actually the dad.
he is the real dad, the dad of many at this point. He's building a little baseball team there with the wife. So congratulations to the Paulson family. We will have Grant back alongside with us soon enough. We won't put a time frame on when he'll join us, but I'm sure he's going to be itching after spending a couple days in the hospital.
Yeah.
in that uncomfortable blue chair in the waiting room.
MLB draft is screaming his name. So I'm sure he'll be back soon enough.
He'll be back soon enough, but we won't put a timetable on it. Take as much time as you need, Grant, to enjoy the time with the little one. Make sure that you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode here of Bustin' Loose Baseball. We do a new episode at the beginning and end of every series, and sometimes you'll get extra ones when we have crazy breaking news like we did earlier this week. And we want to thank everybody that did tune in. We had one of our highest listened to episodes this early this week, and that wouldn't be possible without you, the Nationals fans. So make sure that you're spreading the word, letting everybody know that you know that's a Nats fan, that we have Bustin' Loose Baseball for them twice a week, sometimes even more. Toby, the Nats are 38-55 with one series to go ahead of the All-Star break. As mentioned in the intro here, Miguel Cairo has taken over the reins for Davey Martinez after Martinez was fired on Sunday. And the Miguel Cairo era starts off 1-2. He was able to get his first win in the middle game of this three-game set as the Nats powered their way to a win 8-2 over St. Louis, but they dropped each game on the other side of that win, 4-2 in game one. They lost 8-1 in game three. The post-Davey Martinez era is often underway. Toby, your thoughts so far with Miguel Cairo and the Nationals?
Yeah, so it's funny. We were talking about Jake Irvin and just going game by game real quick of the series in terms of pitching. And as much as we talk about Michael Soroka, generally, I know not in the series finale, but generally he pitches better than his line. Like he'll leave and it's five or six innings and it ends up being four or five runs. And that's how he ends up with an ERA that is where it is. But generally it feels like he pitches better than that. Jake Irvin somehow continues to pitch to a, I wouldn't say great line. It's not probably even a good line, but it's reasonable. And yet it feels like he somehow pitches worse than that. He somehow feels like he pitches worse than his line, which I don't know that that's a bad thing, being able to go out there and salvage a decent outing. But he goes out there, gives up four runs over six innings. You feel like you can still find a way to win that ball game. They couldn't. It was a weird game as well. Didn't start until 10 p.m. Eastern time, 9 p.m. out there in St. Louis. So a little bit of an odd start with the rain delay out there. But you get the win in game two of the series. And really, I had two takeaways from this series. We'll start with the positive one. And it was in that game where Amed Rosario goes deep. James Wood goes deep. Nathaniel Lowe goes deep. And it was good to see the offense get going. And something that we saw pop up, you do have to correct me if I'm wrong here, Darius. I don't recall seeing the Uncle Slam hat. I don't recall seeing the Stars and Stripes jacket that they throw on. And I'm curious where that went. I don't know if that was a Davey thing. I don't know if that was a team thing. I don't know what I don't know. But I'm curious why that has gone. Because if there's something about this ball club that, yes, some of it's carried over because of the fact that they just fired Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. But it felt like there was, I don't know, a lack of fun and joy overall, or enthusiasm and exuberance, for especially for a young ball club. Think of all the young guys that are on this team. And generally, when you think there's a lot of young guys on a team, it's almost sometimes, hey, we got to rein this in a little bit. We got to chill out and understand that you're in the big leagues, versus this one's like, you almost have to wake them up a little bit. Like, hey, let's get things going. Let's see some energy. Let's see some excitement. And that's been missing a little bit. So to see that pop back up, I think was incredibly positive. I was really, really happy to see that, because this is a game after all. And I know these guys are getting paid a lot of money and you don't want to hear, oh, it's just a game. But reality is there's 162 of these things. So you need to find a way to break up some of the monotony. And some of that is just going out there and having fun. You're playing a kid's game after all. And so seeing some of that exuberance, some of that youthfulness, some of that excitement again in the dugout. I mean, every team has one of these stupid things. The Red Sox have the dumb mascot head. I don't know if the Angels still do like the samurai helmet. The Blue Jays had like that big old suit coat with a bunch of patches on it. Every team does one of these stupid things. Obviously, we know the Orioles with the homer hose and all that dumb stuff. Whatever. It's dumb. It's gimmicky. But no one cares because it's just fun for the guys in the dugout. So I was glad to see that make its reappearance. But as much as there was positive for the win, that you see them slug three home runs, you see them have a little bit of fun in the dugout, you have a classic Nationals error under Davey Martinez, just now under Miguel Cairo. So it's the top of the eighth inning in the series finale. This game's over with. We understand. It's 8-0. There's nothing going on at that time. Actually, it was 8-1 at the time. But Jacob Young had grounded into a fielder's choice, which was originally ruled a double play, but they reviewed it, and now it was just a fielder's choice, the run score. So it's 8-1.
One of the quickest reviews ever, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, as it should be. And so Jacob Young is at first, and it's one out because you just had the review. It was originally two. Now it's down to one out. CJ Abrams comes to the plate and hits into a double play that shouldn't have been a double play. He goes, I believe it was a 5-6-3. And the reason that it was 5-6-3 is because CJ, about halfway down the line, when Jacob Young is out at second, just slowed up. Can't happen. It just cannot happen. And I've talked about this multiple times with CJ. I really, really like CJ, and I don't think this is a, I don't even know that this is necessarily an effort thing. I think there was time earlier that Grant and I believe talked about on one of the last podcasts where he had a situation where it was more of an effort thing, where James Wood lined out to right field when he was running because it was a full count and he didn't bust his butt to get back. He didn't throw on the brakes and try to get back. He was probably out regardless, but he didn't give the full effort to get back. I would have yanked him in that game, even though it was the first inning. This one, it's a little bit different. It's the eighth inning. I probably still would have yanked him. At some point, you got to show these guys that they need to be accountable, because that's a lack of focus from CJ. That just can't happen. If you want to continue to go out there and play like that, that's losing baseball. It just cannot happen. And the problem is, this happens all the time. If this were a one-off occurrence, and I'm not necessarily singling out CJ on this, even though there have been a couple examples of it, but if this were a one-off occurrence, it's a little bit of a different story. This isn't a one-off. It's one time you don't know the outs. It's another time you don't break home on a grounder when you're at third base. It's all sorts of stuff. And so the positive that you get from this is it feels like there's some exuberance in the clubhouse and in the dugout again when they're winning ball games. The negative is that's about the only thing that's different. That's it. Like Miguel Cairo, Davey Martinez, there's no, at least from one series, and who knows, maybe it'll change after the All-Star break when they have a little more time to implement their stuff, but there's no shot in the arm. There's no difference in philosophy. And I didn't think there would be, but it was almost a little bit discouraging to see it play out in the series finale. Like, dang, I mean, this looks like a Davey Martinez managed ball club again with the terrible base running, and there's really no accountability held for a guy doing that. So there's good and bad. Hopefully it changes, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah, in regards to the CJ Abrams play, as you mentioned, that happened in the eighth inning in game three on Thursday night. I was listening to the radio broadcast while that play was playing out, and Dave Jagler, when they came back from commercial break to start the bottom of the eighth inning, he mentioned that it appeared, and I guess this is a combination of Dave and Charlie both were talking about this, but it appeared that CJ, the reason that he slowed down is because he thought that it was two outs. And they said that there was a particular camera shot. I guess it must have been on the home feed, which would have been the St. Louis feed, because they didn't show this on the Masson feed. But there was a camera shot that caught CJ saying, like, it wasn't two outs. It wasn't two outs, kind of putting up two fingers, indicating that he thought it was two outs. But as you mentioned before, that's happened before, and that just can't happen. Those kind of mental lapses of not understanding the moment and not understanding if there's one or two outs left, how many times can we allow that to happen? I think that's the part that's frustrating, regardless of whether he didn't run it out or because he didn't know it was two outs or not. Multiple times of this happening over the course of a season and his career is just not good. It's definitely discouraging that those are the kinds of things that continue to happen, regardless of whether it's Davey Martinez or Miguel Cairo. And like you said, Miguel Cairo was on the staff already. There's not really going to be wholesale sweeping changes. I think that's one thing about the MLB when it comes to in-season managerial changes. How often does a team completely just change their course and change over their vibe when they make that kind of change? Because you're going from a guy who was on, or you're going to a guy that was already on the staff and was already there. It's hard to see there being any kind of sweeping change that'll make the team or a club look any different or play any different. And we saw an example of that this week in this 2-1 series loss on the road to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're asking a lot for there to be major changes when in reality, you know, a manager to me is a little bit different than, you know, coaching changes in other sports. Like you can draw up plays in football and you can change the way that you go about things and featuring guys. Whereas a manager, to Davey's point, where it's never the coaching, right? Like he can't go up and take the plate appearance. He can't go up and take the at bat for James Wood. He can't go up and do that. So especially it's different, or you're not going to expect major changes when the pitching coach is still the same, the hitting coach is still the same, all that stuff, third base coach, first base coach. The only thing that's different is the guy that pencils in the lineup every day. And not to say that, you know, the manager doesn't do anything, but I think of all the major sports, maybe it's a little bit different with baseball than the others in terms of the impact of a coach / manager. So we'll see if they... It's also tough when you find out on Monday. He also didn't fly out with the team on Monday. So I'm curious. I don't want to make a sweeping judgment on Miguel Cairo because he actually had success in Chicago when he took over as the White Sox interim manager. I don't want to make overhauling conclusions just from one series, and really not even two, because whatever happens in this Brewers series, you know, at this point where the Nationals are in their season, unfortunately, they've gotten to a point where who really cares what the wins and losses are? I mean, we've done this the last couple of years, and we're doing it again this year. But I'm curious, after the All-Star break, when you get some more time and you get a chance to kind of settle into that role, because he's going to have an extended time doing it, I'm curious if there'll be changes then. But it was a little bit disappointing watching in the first series and not seeing any real tangible differences. But at the same point, I don't know that you can really expect that either.
Yeah, and you also bring up a good point just in terms of some of the exuberance and fun aspect of the team. I think you're right. I don't think we've seen the Uncle Slam hat. I don't think we've seen the presidential wig. I don't think we've seen
the
jacket. I don't think we've seen any of that this season. I'm with you. I'm pretty curious as to why that stuff faded away. I would like to believe that I think some of that stuff was maybe spearheaded by Ildemar Vargas, who is no longer with the team, of course. He was let go or didn't re-sign in the offseason, ended up going to Arizona after a while. But maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe that Vargas was the one that spearheaded it and nobody really took claim of it after he left. I don't know what it could be, but I do think that's very interesting that they finally popped it back out after Davey was gone.
So here's an interesting thing that... This is going to sound like I'm defending Davey, and I'm not, because I really like Davey Martinez, the guy. I feel like we always have to couch that. Like, I don't think any person that's been around Davey has any issue with Davey, the guy. He's fantastic. He's easy to work with, easy to talk to, all that stuff. But I'm not necessarily defending Davey, because at this point, I think it was long overdue that he get moved on from. I've always said that I didn't want him managing a ball club that was trying to win again. And I think his continuity was good for the guys, but only to a certain point, because it felt like the continuity led to some complacency. But something that's interesting when you talk to different professional athletes, it doesn't really matter what sport, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, basketball, whenever you talk to those guys that are on elite teams that go on and do great things, whether it's winning championships or getting to that point, they always talk about how it's a player-led team, or the players inside the locker room or clubhouse really lead the thing. And the coach is obviously still important. The manager is still important. But the players kind of hold each other accountable. The players are the ones kind of pushing each other. So the interesting part about all this, and I don't know where it fits, is when you're complaining about some of this stuff with Davey, and the reason that I thought about this is this Uncle Slam stuff popping back up and just some of that fun and whatever they're doing in the dugout. Who cares? But it's fun stuff that they should be doing. Where is the veteran leadership on this team? Is there veteran leadership on this team? I think there is. I think Josh Bell is supposed to be in that spot. I think, obviously, Nathaniel Lowe, guys like that. But maybe we're not holding them accountable enough. Because you blame Davey for everything. But shouldn't the vets be getting on these guys? I get that Davey has the actual string that he can pull where he can bench a guy. He can, you know, do whatever. The veteran leaders can't do that. But where's that? Where's the guys that are holding each other accountable in that clubhouse so that they play better baseball? I don't know. And I don't know that you see that interaction, which part of it is, you've got a lot of new guys in terms of the veterans, and they might not be here for very long. So if you're Paul DeJong or you're Ahmed Rosario or you're one of those dudes stepping in on a one-year contract and you're coming in, I would think that you would want to help guys out, but you also don't really have to. You're here for 1 year and potentially not even that, because you might get traded or let go or whatever it may be, and we'll see if they make wholesale changes at the trade deadline. But that is something that I think is intriguing that we maybe haven't talked about enough is, yes, Davey wasn't doing his job clearly, but were the veteran leaders in that clubhouse, the veteran voices, doing their job either? And I would say no.
That's a phenomenal point. And I don't think, if you take a guy like Nathaniel Lowe or Josh Bell, do you view them as leaders? Sure, by the standard of they've been in the league for however many years each of them have been in the league, they should be viewed that way. But is Josh Bell really kind of a rah-rah guy, or is he more kind of like a cool, relaxed, calm guy? Same thing with Nathaniel Lowe. Is he that kind of rah-rah, rally up the crew and keep people in check kind of guy? I don't think so, at least from Nathaniel Lowe that we know, that we've had the opportunity to interview a couple times over the course of the season. I don't think that either of those guys is that, and I don't think any of that is on the team currently. Maybe that guy before was you know, last year it was Jesse Winker and Patrick Corbin, who's been here, you know, the previous four or five years. I don't think that exists on this team right now. And that's part of the downside of not keeping veterans long term.
100%
aspect too. Yeah. You don't have anybody in this organization right now who is over the age of, you know, let's say 24, 25, that's signed for any more than a year.
Yeah.
So where are you going to get that veteran leadership? I don't think, like you said, I don't think it exists on this current iteration of the roster. So
yeah, because
that is a huge problem, a huge missing piece to a young team for sure.
Because like Davey can make the decisions managerially, right? Like we understand what I'm talking about with that, the bullpen choices, the lineup, all that stuff. But bringing the energy to the ballpark, that's on the players. Davey can't be out there rah-rah speeching every single game for 162. That's on the players. They've got to find their own energy. They've got to have guys that motivate them. And I do think a big portion of this is Dylan Cruz fits a lot of these sorts of things. And Dylan Cruz has been out for now quite some time, which, you know, we feared when he when he first had that injury pop up. He's a winning ball player. And I do think that they're missing him a lot, but this to me doesn't fall as much on Davey as maybe it's a little bit on Rizzo, if you want to look at that. And again, I don't know that we need to spend the whole year looking at pointing fingers about who screwed up. I think everybody deserves a big portion of the blame, but that's something I'm curious to watch the rest of the year. Do some veteran leaders start to emerge, and do you have to have some of the younger guys step up and take that role, even though, you know, James is not generally, I don't think it'll be the rah-rah guy stepping up in the middle of the room like, hey, come on, guys, let's get this stuff together. Like, that's not really James Wood's personality, and that's fine. That's not really CJ's personality, and that's fine. Obviously, like a young guy like Brady House can't do that, or Dalen Lyle can't do that. So I'll be interested to see if someone steps up into that role, and hopefully they do, because they need it.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One other takeaway from this series is that Dalen Lyle came into the third game of the series on a 14-game hitting streak. Unfortunately, that 14-game hitting streak would come to an end, but he had the longest hitting streak in the major leagues at 14 games. So it's been a nice, impressive run for Dalen Lyle to get himself right and acclimated. And looks like he's settling in pretty well as a major leaguer.
Yeah, sometimes we look at a guy coming up and then being sent down and then being brought back up. Sometimes you look at that being sent down as a little bit of a negative, but I actually think for him, and we'll see at some point, we'll see Robert Hassel again this year. I think it's good sometimes when you have that with a guy that's not your, you know, the top kind of prospect like a Jackson Holiday, but when you have a guy like Dalen Lyle come up to the bigs, see how guys start to approach him and how guys start to attack him, goes back down to the minors, works on some stuff, comes back up, and you've seen a different Dalen Lyle. And more so just the results. I think he was putting together good at-bats in his first stint in the bigs, but you've seen the results start to come through. And I think it'll be a similar sort of thing, hopefully, when Robert Hassel comes back up, where he was struggling at the big league level, He's been raking back in AAA, and I bet when he gets called back up, he'll be more confident at the plate, and you'll see a little bit of a difference with Robert Hassel III. So I'm glad to see that Dalen Lyle's getting things going, and he provides so much speed on the base paths. He's someone that can be a real havoc creator, and I think he's getting more comfortable over there in right field. So yeah, it's been nice to see him play a lot better baseball.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.